This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. That diet soda that you thought was helping you lose weight, well, it might be doing just the opposite. According to a new study from the University of Texas Health Science Center, the artificial sweet of that diet soda is packing on the pounds, and who knows what else is packing on. Does that mean that you should be drinking the real thing instead, larded with all that corn syrup? Well, then what's the alternative? Are you hooked on diet drinks? Are you ready to kick the habit? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Our guests this half hour are the folks who did the study, the breakthrough study here, looking at diet sodas and the impact on your physique. Sharon Fowler is a faculty associate at the University of Texas Health Science Center and one author of the study. And Dr. Helen Hazuda, she is the professor and chief of the clinical epidemiology division at the University of Texas Health Science Center. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Helen, let me ask you about this study. How was this study conducted?
The analyses at, about diet soda were part of a larger study looking at what's called the disablement process in an aging population, and that's the process whereby diseases lead to disability. But we know that something that influences that is lifestyle factors, one of which is our nutrient intake. So we actually ask questions about soda intake, diet soda, regular soda, as part of the ongoing study. We actually did the baseline in 1992 to 1996, and then we got additional funding from the National Institute on Aging to do a follow-up study between 2000 and 2005, and we actually re-examined people three different times, 18 months apart. So we actually had about a 9.5-year follow-up on average of these folks.
So basically, you had a collection of people, and you knew that some of these people like to drink diet sodas, and you just said, okay, let's see what happens to them over the years. If these diet sodas are as good as they're advertised, they should be thin as rails, right?
Actually, well, that's what the popular belief might have been, but we wanted to find out exactly what effect and find an evidence base for what is the real association between different types of soda, especially diet soda, and weight and waist circumference and other aspects of aging.
So, Sharon Fowler, what did you find when you looked at the data?
What we saw was that the people in the San Antonio Longitudinal Study of Aging, or the SALSA study that Dr. Hazuda heads up, that those people who were not using diet sodas had some increase in their waist circumference or increase in belly fat. They gained about 0.8 inches of circumference of their waists.
Over what time?
Over a period of 9.4 years on average. But those people who were drinking diet sodas, not daily, but some, less often than once per day, had an increase of 1.8 inches of their waist circumference over the following 9 years. Those who were drinking daily or more often had an increase of 3.2 inches in their waist circumference over the next almost decade. So the people who were drinking diet sodas daily or more often had more than triple the increase in their waist circumference compared with the people who were not using diet sodas.
So drinking the diet soda, I mean, we don't know what the connection is, right? We're just drawing conclusions based on observation, right? Right, Helen?
That's correct.
Okay, and so, but we're able to say that this means something, and we're going to look at, draw a conclusion based on these observations. We have a collection of people, and what kind of folks were they? What was the sampling like?
Yeah, this was a community-based sample of older Mexican Americans and European Americans who were 65 years in age of age and older when we first saw them, and they were originally in part of the San Antonio Heart Study. And Sharon is the lead author on a study that was published in 2008 from the San Antonio Heart Study looking at weight gain over time and artificial sweeteners. So again, this was just not anybody who walked in. These were not volunteers. These were a sample of people who were randomly sampled originally from households in three different types of neighborhoods, high income, middle income, low income. And our study had about half Mexican-American older people and half European-American older people.
Let's go to the phone lines. If you want to join the conversation talking about diet sodas, are you hooked on them? What do you think about this information? Do you think that you've been sold a pig and a Coke over this? The number is 210-614-8980. 8980, and Lisa has called in. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just coincidentally decided about a week ago that I was going to stop drinking all sodas. I had been drinking diet drinks for years, and then the last year or so maybe started drinking regular soda waters as well. And some of the studies that have come out the last few months, I stopped a few days ago, and I am replacing it with trying to drink water, boring, but still, and iced tea. But I'm using Splenda as a sweetener. So am I in the same boat?
All right. That is a great question, Lisa, and congratulations, and continue to go forth and conquer those issues. So Splenda, that's an artificial sweetener. What do we know about Splenda, Sharon?
Well, Splenda is also a non-nutritive sweetener, along with aspartame and saccharin. It's one of the three leading sweeteners. So there are two things I would say. One is based upon animal data as well. There's a suggestion that these artificial sweeteners can cause problems with our metabolism. They can confuse our body's metabolism, cause problems with insulin resistance, possibly problems with the tiny organisms that grow in our guts, et cetera. So Splenda itself is definitely in the same category as the things we are concerned about. Now the question is, there are two questions. One is, are some artificial sweeteners better than others? And the other question is, if you make up your own drink, for example, if you were to take iced tea and put 2 packets of Splenda in it, would you be having the same bad effect as if you drank a diet soda that had Splenda in it? My guess is you're getting a much, much lower dose of Splenda if you're making it yourself, because they're probably the equivalent of 10 packets of Splenda in one diet soda, I would guess. But in general, my reading of the literature is it's better to avoid Splenda, sucralose, saccharin, all of these artificial sweeteners or non-nutritive sweeteners. That's my concern. It's what Gore would have called an inconvenient truth, but I'm afraid that sweetness disconnected from calories equal problem.
All right, Dr. Helen, you wanted to add to that?
Yes, I mean, Splenda is 300 times sweeter than sugar. And to follow up on what Sharon just said, we think that one of the mechanisms that has been identified in animal studies that accounts for the fact that these artificial sweeteners are associated with weight gain and waist circumference gain is that the body, when it tastes something sweet, used to anticipate that, well, there are going to be consequences here. I'm taking in energy, and therefore I need to keep that in mind. I can't just eat sweet stuff forever and expect not to gain weight or gain waist circumference. So the animal models that have looked at this notion, Susan Swithers has done this, and they show that if you let rat pups eat glucose-sweetened yogurt supplements, they gain increased weight, and not only that, increased body fat compared to the others.
We're going to keep talking about the impact of diet soda on your body and your life. What do you think about diet sodas? Why are they even called diet sodas? How do they get that term? It may not even make sense. The number here is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When you go to a restaurant and you sit down and a waiter asks you, what would you like to drink, sir or ma'am? And you say a diet, this or that. What are you actually ordering? What are you going to get? And what's that going to do to your body? We're talking about a new study that was produced at the University of Texas Health Science Center looking at the impact of diet sodas, looking at a group of 749 adults, looking at like a 10-year period, and seeing that folks who drank diet sodas, their waistlines gained considerably more than the folks who did not drink diet sodas. We don't know why that is. There are lots of theories out there. One of them that we just discussed was like, if you drink all the sweet stuff going into your body and you taste sweet, that's like writing a check to your body saying, you're going to get all of these calories, you're going to get all this sugar and all these simple carbohydrates coming into your system. And then it doesn't come into your system. And then your body's like going, hey, I thought you told me I was going to get all that sugar. Where is it? And suddenly your body reacts to it and maybe you're going to consume those calories elsewhere throughout the day. Suddenly, you're packing on the pounds. That's just one theory about what's happening when you drink artificial sweeteners, whether it be in a Diet Coke or with Splenda or other things that you get in your life. And we're talking with two experts about it. They did the study at the UT Health Science Center, Sharon Fowler and also Dr. Helen Hazuda. And we take some calls here. Let's get to Zach on the air. Zach, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me on. This is a very important topic for me. My wife, her mother, and her older sister are lifetime diet soda drinkers, and all three of them have had actually gastric bypass surgery. But strangely enough, her younger sister, who avoided sugary drinks pretty much in general, has had zero health negative health effects. I do the same thing, and I mean, it's reflected in better health, I think, than avoiding, you know, the fake sugar or the real sugar, really.
All right, Zach, thank you so much for those observations. I appreciate that. That was very helpful. So you want to react to that, Dr. Helen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an excellent anecdotal example of how we think we're doing something good for ourselves by consuming these diet sodas, and we're actually doing something bad. And I think we want to see public awareness about the potential dangers of this, as you're nicely articulating, and giving people alternatives, like it suggested mineral water with a splash of some kind of fruit juice, coffee, which is my favorite alternative, or just plain water.
So in this study, as you looked at these folks with, then they're gaining the weight, but this is really the worst kind of weight to gain, that it is around the middle, and that is the hardest to get work off, and it actually puts the most strain on the system. So Sharon, talk about that some.
Well, this belly fat, especially as we get older, we tend to gain more of that. And the problem with it is that it increases inflammation in our bodies. And inflammation drives the risk of cancer, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, and mortality itself. If you were to look at the MRI of the cross-section of our bellies, especially as we age, what you'd see is what shocked me. It's not as if we have mainly organs inside and then they're surrounded by thin layers of fat. As we age, it can look more like our internal organs or viscera are islands in a sea of fat. There's a tremendous amount of fat inside, and that fat is generating risk for us. So this is a particularly dangerous place for people to pack on pounds at any time, but especially as we get older.
You mentioned earlier about the microflora that people have in their guts. You know, there's more gut bacteria in your body than you actually have cells in your body. And we're finding out there's new discoveries all the time talking about how influential they are in your life. And people are looking at them as possibly a solution to or a culprit in the obesity epidemic that we're having in the United States. And people are thinking that sugar or artificial sweetener could be part of that. We've seen studies that show that people who do consume a lot of artificial sweeteners are altering their, you know, their microflora, the bacteria that they have in their guts, and that could have an impact on them.
That is exactly my concern. There are 100 trillion tiny organisms or microbiota that live in our guts.
I call them my little buddies.
My little buddies, yes. Great. And if we were to think in old terms that our bodies were like combustion chambers, you just put fuel in and it gets burned up, then maybe the only thing we need to look at is the number of calories on a can of soda or whatever. But in fact, I would like to suggest a different model, and that is that our intestines are like our own private inner rainforest. They have these trillions of different organisms, and which ones grow more abundant and which ones start to decline have an impact on our health as well as their own health. So there are two different things especially that are of concern that are common across all diet sodas. One is artificial sweeteners, the other is acidity. So the question I would raise is, because sodas, whether diet or regular, are much more acid than acid rain itself, they have a pH of 3 compared with an acid rain pH of 5, the question is, if we dose ourselves chronically, day by day, with these highly acidic beverages, could it have any kind of effect on our inner rainforest, as I call it, in our guts, that's comparable to real acid rain on real rainforests? A study in France suggested that that might be the case. They saw a tremendous increase in diabetes in people with a more acidic diet.
All right, let's get to some callers. We've got a lot of them here. Debbie has called in. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I just have one quick question. I am addicted to Diet Dr. Pepper, and Diet Dr. Pepper, I've looked this up on their website and that, and they have zero calories. So I'm just a little bit confused on how calories relate to weight gain or weight loss.
All right, Debbie, great question. So, Dr. Helen, you want to answer that?
Sure. Calories, basically, the way you maintain weight is by making sure that the number of the calories you take in are compensated for by the energy that you expend. I think following up, so that calorie, you can't just eat limitless calories and expect not to gain weight. However, calories are not the only issue. It's the composition of the nutrients that you're putting into your body. So when you look at any diet soda, I'm not going to refer to a specific brand of diet soda, but you're taking into your body things that have a negative impact on other things that are critical to maintaining energy balance in your body. So one of the things we haven't mentioned is that there's a hormone called leptin, which is very important. It tells your body that you have brought in enough energy, now you need to back off on that. And in addition to the issues about the bacteria, microflora in the gut, there's evidence showing that at least in animal models, a part of the forebrain called the arcuate nucleus of the hypothalamus has a lot of leptin receptors, and those can be destroyed by artificial sweeteners.
So you can be full and satiated, but yet your body hasn't gotten that. Your brain has not gotten that message.
That's correct.
All right, another caller real quick. Andrew. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. I have a question for your guests. Mm-hmm. Have they figured out what the dosage is for what's in the diet sodas? And as to say, like, what would be safe to use to add to iced tea? Yeah, because when I was in organic chemistry 2, one of my professor gave me a bit of kind of an anecdote saying that the devil is in the dose.
Yes.
And that's just kind of stuck with me.
All right.
Ever since then.
Good point there, Andrew. Thanks for calling in. So I'm going to call them diet. I'm going to call them artificially sweetened drinks. And so what is the dose? I mean, you're doing this every day, too.
We don't have the answer to that question, but we definitely see in each of our studies that by the time people are drinking daily or more often, that they are having increased risk, as we've seen it, of obesity, of increased weight around the waist, inches around the waist. Other studies have shown metabolic syndrome, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, and other problems. So we don't know the answer, but the question is there any point at which there is no potential long-term risk, and we don't know. I would like to point out that these little organisms in our guts, they have a major role to play, not only in what percent of the calories we take in are used, because some people are better than 100% of the normal at getting calories in, and others are worse than that. So these little organisms can boost the rate at which we take in the actual calories from what we put into our mouths. So we don't know the exact. It's a very good question. We have seen that the trend is significant. It's highly significant. But at lower levels than daily, we're not seeing as much significant. But who knows what the longer-term impact might be.
Another caller, Heidi. Heidi, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I called because I was super addicted to diet sodas for a long time, for years, and I didn't know it had any connection to any disease or anything, and then I was diagnosed with lupus, and I had all kinds of problems, but after that, I became like a vegan, a raw vegan, and then my lupus went away, and my symptoms went away, and I was fine, and I've been detoxing since, but I have a lot of friends and family that still are addicted to the Diet Coke. It's like, it's super common. I mean, you go to a party or whatever, and everybody's drinking it.
Right.
And everybody's sick. Everybody has this or that, or diabetes, or a leaky gut, or high blood pressure, or depressed, or taking, you know, all kinds of stuff. So for me, it looked like a direct, and I love what you all said, a little while ago about the rainforest. I am going to keep that forever.
All right, Heidi, thank you so much for calling in, and congratulations on getting your lupus under control. So we don't want to say that, you know, diet sodas are responsible for any particular conditions. We don't know those things, but we do know that, you know, things that you drink every day, artificial, you know, how good can that really be for you? Especially when we know there are alternatives that are absolutely good for you, like straight up water or mineral water or just a little bit of flavoring. You really don't need to have all of that sugar going in or artificial sweetener going straight into your system. So, Dr. Helen, what do you tell people?
What do I tell people?
Yeah, someone says, what is your advice?
Well, my advice is exactly what was mentioned a few minutes ago. That is, move away from artificially sweetened sodas or regular sodas for that matter, and go to alternatives such as mineral water with a splash of juice or regular water or coffee without sweeteners in it. And I think there's no question that the body of evidence that's accumulating from studies such as ours and others that find the same thing in animal studies suggests that it certainly is better for your health to avoid artificial sweeteners.
A real question from email. Since your guests have made the direct correlation between artificial sweeteners and weight gain, but have other factors been taken into consideration that might weight gain might be due to overcompensation of calories by not drinking those sodas?
We did look in our earlier study, the San Antonio Heart Study, at the total calories, average calories among people who drank diet sodas and other artificially sweetened drinks versus others. And they actually drank about almost 200, they consumed almost 200 calories per day less than the other people were not using. That's the closest we can say, but other studies have shown significant relationships even when they've added in as a covariate the caloric intake.
Okay, we're running really short on time, but can we talk about real quickly stevia? Is that what that is? Stevia?
Yes, right.
Is that another artificial sugar?
Correct. And so if one of the major culprits in causing the weight gain and waist circumference gain associated with artificial sweeteners is the fact that we lose the signal that we're eating sweet things,
right.
And so we're going to
gain weight. So if you're
going
to get sweet, at least do real sugar.
It's the same thing. Because stevia is, yes, because it's associated with satiety.
Right.
Artificial sweeteners are not.
Okay. All right. We got to go. We're out of time, but it was great talking to y'all. I appreciate y'all coming up here. Sharon Fowler over at University of Texas Health Science Center. Dr. Helen Hazuda, also at the UT Health Science Center. This is The Source.